Before us lead, we tread life's journey, His warning seed. Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail. With singing hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, bound, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land. We're singing hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land.
Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto to glory land. And few there be that find it. Everybody talking about heaven know that they are not going to heaven. Everybody talking about heaven have a good idea if they're going or if they're not going. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. So there is a yoke. There is responsibility. That we serve him and put him first, regardless of the earthly situation or circumstances. We're delighted to see those of you who are here tonight to fellowship one with another and to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And be a source of inspiration one to another. We thank God for that. The speaker this evening is one of our young brothers. I don't know how long I'll be able to say that. Brother David Hughes. And he answered my question some time ago without hesitation. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Brother David Hughes.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Brown, you can say I'm young as long as you want to. But in October, I will be 56, so I don't know if I can pull that off too much longer. I went and got a haircut yesterday, and I was asking the lady, could she dye my beard for me? And she said that would be an extra cost. So I said, I think I would just keep it the way it is. No sense in changing what God gave me. So, good evening to everyone. It's my intention not to keep you long. Brother Brown asked me to preach this evening, and he always says something to keep something in your pocket. He comes by and do this every now and then. And I said, I got something for you. This lesson is a lesson I was going to do on Youth Sunday. But I actually told Brother Cooper, I said, Brother Cooper, why don't you ask that young Emil brother? Why don't you ask him, since they're looking for somebody youth? Now, I said, my youth is far spent. And I have a son that's 30 and be 31 this year, so... It's far spent, but he consented to preaching. You heard that on Youth Sunday. He did a wonderful job. It's amazing how God is working through our young people. So I adapted this lesson, and I took it and rewrote it and made it for all Christians. And the title, if you want a title, it says, Take Heed to Your Ministry. It's coming out of 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. So if you want to turn over there, we'll do some reading here in a minute. This lesson is for the young. Like I said, I rewrote it for the young and us young at heart Christians. But everybody can learn something from God's word. When Paul was speaking to the young man, Timothy, it was to inspire all of us. Because at one time we were all young. And at one time we were all young in the faith. Some of us have been in the church for many years, and some of us are new converts. So I hope this lesson would inspire us to take heed to our Christian ministry. Because all of us have a ministry, whether you like it or not. What you say out of your mouth and how your actions are part of your ministry. So when Paul was talking here to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1 and 5, he said, I will call to remembrance the unfrail faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that this is also in thee. Paul tells that young man, your mother and your grandmother taught you, but Paul came behind them and instructed him on the word of God, the gospel of God, too. So in the faith, we learn from our parents, but there's also should be that Christian brother and sister where you learn from. Paul, we should all have a Paul in our lives, somebody who can teach us the gospel, who's nobody's perfect. So I just want to put that out there first. If you look for a perfect Christian, you're not going to find them. Paul even had his own problems. All the apostles had their problems. Even though they were handpicked by Jesus, they all had problems. But Paul instructed Timothy to listen to his grandmother and his mother because he knew their faith. And so when he instructed him, he educated him on the gospel, and Timothy turned out to be a good gospel preacher too. So we all need those mentors in our life. So I'm glad Paul was there for this young man, because being young in this world today that we have, it probably wasn't that easy back when Timothy was young. But in the day, it seemed like we have everything that would throw young people off. Turn on the TV. Now, when I was growing up, we only had four channels, and we had to get up and turn with the little, because my mother didn't have enough money to buy one of those little remote controls, even though my grandparents had them. They were loud, click, and it seemed like if somebody was breaking somebody's finger, it was hitting so hard. We were the channel. My mom said, get up and turn to channel 4. Get up and turn. That's how it was back in those days. And if you didn't get up fast enough, you might lip over there to the TV. Or she might throw her shoe. My mother had a perfect aim. I think I got a knot still on the back of my head from my mother's shoe many a times, but I still love her, though. But that's how it was back for us. We only had four channels. You can watch them. You might hear a cuss word every now and then. No nudity. No all these commercials on TV just talking about everything. But today, these young people, you turn on the internet and you see all kind of stuff on the internet you don't even want to see. You can type in something innocent and something about what pop up. But that's why we should have mentors for our children to teach them, because they're going to come up against all this stuff just like Timothy came up with stuff in his life. And he went to Paul, and Paul instructed him on the gospel. If you look at this, Luke 18, 16 and 17, Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter therein. Jesus is telling them, as a young man like Timothy, and there's our children here who are baptized. It's been a few weeks ago, but those young Coxshell girls got baptized. It's good to see young people get baptized into the church, but we know what they're up against. But Jesus says, unless they're like a little child, and we all remember when we believed in the Easter Bunny, and we believed in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy. I always found my mother was poor, so we'd get a nickel. But a nickel back in 1965 in the 70s was a lot of money. You can go buy you some nickel candy, penny candy, and all that kind of stuff. But a nickel is not now people putting dollars and $10 bills under their kids. I'll pull out a few teeth myself and see if I can. I don't think Yvonne's going to put no money under my pillow. But it's different today. It's those children believe in that. And that's the innocence of a child. A child will believe that Santa Claus going to come in your house, even though you don't have no chimney. Going to come down and leave presents, even though you might not even have a Christmas. You have a fake Christmas tree, no chimney, and no lights outside your house. But Santa Claus is going to come in his house and put some presents under there. That's how a child believes. And Jesus is saying, just like a child, our faith should be like that. None of us have ever seen Jesus. None of us ever seen God. We see the effects of God, We see the miracles of God. We see the effects on this earth from God. But we had never seen him in person. No man has ever seen God. But people have seen Jesus, but they've been dead for years. But as a child, we believe when we said, oh, that like song we just said, oh, how I love Jesus. We believed it. We love Jesus because he first loved us. But when we get older and we get beat up by the world and somebody tell you you too old to be believing in the Easter Bunny, you too old for getting money for your teeth. Some of us be trying to put our dentures under there, but we ain't no getting no money for your dentures. So don't go there. So if you have dentures, please don't put them under your pillow. They're supposed to go in that little cup, okay, before you go to bed. Now, if you have that, I don't want to talk to anybody after church about their teeth, okay, please. But that's how innocent children are. And in the faith, that's how we're supposed to be. When we first come into the church, we're innocent. We're like a babe. We believe that when we hear the word, it pierces our heart, and we believe. And just like Timothy, Paul came to him and taught him and instructed him on how to be a Christian. And he also told him, if we keep reading, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 4, 16 through 12. I'm sorry, 12 through 16. Wow. Let's start with verse 12, if you have it. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou example. Did I say 1 Corinthians 4? Okay, 12. Okay. I sometimes get, I said 2 Timothy. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, I'll be 56 this year. All right. Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. That must be, my next lesson must be coming out of 1 Corinthians because I keep running back there. Okay. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, let's dissect that verse there a little bit. Let no man despise thy youth. What is Paul telling him? Just because you're young don't mean you don't know nothing. So Paul is telling him, just because you're young, I'm telling y'all young people who are members of the church, y'all know a lot, especially if you go to Sandy Lane, you know a lot. So let nobody despise you, but be respectful when you talk back to when you tell people stuff. You know, when you get older, you might, you know, get a little attitude like some of us do when we get older. But when you're young, an older person tell you something, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But this is what the Bible says. And it will take you a little bit more serious. Is it, oh, that's wrong. You wrong. See, once the kids start going that way, adults clam up. They see your disrespect and then it's all over for you. I'm just knowing by experience, it's all over. But if you're respectful to your adults and come at them in a nice way, they will listen to you. And if they don't, just remember, you're a Christian. God is always going to listen to you. Paul is telling him that don't let them despise you because you're young, but you need to be an example. Be thou example to the believers. Now, was he talking about people on the outside or was he talking about people on the inside? We're the believers. So even children in your youth, he wants you to be an example. Young people and those who are young at heart and those who are young in the church, you need to be an example. When you come into the church, you're going to make mistakes. Own up to your mistakes, ask God to forgive you, and move on with your life, because that's what the devil wants you to do, is to suffer and hang your head down and say, I'm never going to go to heaven because I'm so bad, and then they want you to leave the church. That's what the devil wants you to do. Go back because he got you. But see, God knows us, and that's why he sent his son down here to die for us. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He made an avenue for that. Ask God to forgive you and move on with your life. Don't let the world get you down. Now, if you look at verse 12, it says, in in word. What does that say? In word. He's telling Timothy in word what your conversation is. Now, for years, I've been wrestling with that because, you know, you see people inside the church, they're one way. Outside the church, they're a different way. That's not to be. God wants us to be one way all the time. I can remember back when I was a little kid, and it's still, I can still see the guy's face in my, I can still see him. And I was probably about 9, 10 years old. I saw one of the brothers out at the store. I said, "Hey, brother so-and-so." He come, "Don't call me brother so-and-so while we're in public. Call me that at church. Call me mister when I'm at church. I mean, when you see me outside the church, call me mister." I'm 9, 10 years old. You know, and I see my brother. And, you know, we all brother at church, you know, friend. We all go into the meetings together and stuff. Even as a young kid, they used to bring us into the meetings with them for on Sunday morning like we do back there. And we all talking and stuff. And now I got to call him mister when I see him outside. And that stuck with me for years. I'm like, I would never, ever tell anybody to call me Mr. Hughes. I think the best thing somebody can ever call me is their brother. So, you know, that's an example. So in our words, that right there told me this guy wasn't really serious about God's word. He was trying to hide it from the world. In your conduct, and that's the way you act. You can't act one way at church and act another in the world. The world will find you out, and and the world will find out everything. The devil will make sure. I tell my boys, like my mother told me, you can hide all you want to, but the devil's going to make sure everybody knows when you make your mistake because you're a Christian. He's going to make sure everybody knows, and they do. And when they find out, I thought you was a Christian. You don't go to church. You worse than me. You the biggest devil in that church, you know. And it's hard to get that reputation back once the world find out that you are not who you're supposed to be. That's why we always got to, in our conduct, we got to act that part. We got to be a Christian. In love is how you act towards your fellow man. You know, I can't shake your hand and then slap you at the same time, you know. I can't mistreat you and call you my brother, even if you're in the world or outside the world, because God wants us to be outside the church, too, looking for souls. Now, if I'm in love, if I love my brothers and sisters in the church, but I can't love the people who are in the world, then I'm in trouble because I need to be trying to bring them in. So how can I love my person out here if I'm not telling them about God or not acting, my conduct is bad or my words are bad? So Timothy is absorbing all this knowledge from Paul. And it's for us, too, because if we're going to follow, if we're going to have people become members of the church, or we're going to teach them, the best way to teach them is by example, is how we live our lives. In spirit, it's being obedient or listening to the Holy Ghost that God gave us. He gave it to us all once we got baptized. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And if we listen, you will hear the Holy Spirit tell you, you know you're wrong. You shouldn't do that. The Holy Spirit, sometimes he's real loud in our ear, and sometimes it's a little quiet whisper. Get out of here, because you're going to get in trouble if you stay here longer. Turn that channel or you're going to get in trouble. You don't need to be in this place. You need to be going somewhere else. The Holy Spirit tells me that all the time. Not that I'm always looking for trouble, but it's telling me the conversations that I'm having with people at work, or somebody, I might walk in on a conversation, and the Holy Spirit say, turn around, David, get out of here before you hear something you don't want to hear. Because a lot of stuff go on in the world that you don't want to have no part of it. Because all somebody had to do is come by around the corner and hear what's going on. You standing right there with them, they think you're involved with that conversation. And then there goes your reputation at work. And the last one is purity. What is that word purity? Being guiltless, blameless, or innocent in their behavior, in their lifestyle, in their relationship with others. That purity means you're guiltless, you're blameless. You don't have to worry about it. You're innocent. Your behavior is love toward everybody. Your relationship with others, you don't have no secret motives for your relationship with others. You're not in it to get something from somebody. So When Paul was talking to Timothy, he's telling him he needs to have all this stuff in his heart. And then in verse 15, let's go down to 13. Till I come again, giving attendance to reading, to exhorting, and to doctrine. That first word, giving attendance to reading. We hear it from Brother Brown a lot. We need to read. We need to read. We need to read. And we need to be in the right doctrine. There's a lot of books, and a lot of my friends are into Swindell and all these other guys who write books. They sound good until you get into the meat of it. And then next thing you know, you believe in more of what they're saying than what the Bible says. So be careful when you're reading outside books that don't have anything to do with the Bible. It gives you their explanation of what the Bible says. Because I was buying this book, this Bible, and it was real nice. I said, man, has a nice running commentary. Then I get over to Acts 2, and it says baptism should not be in this chapter. I was like, how's some man going to write down there that baptism, the word baptism, shouldn't even be in this chapter? And that was a footnote at the bottom of the page, so I closed that Bible and left it right there on the shelf because it clearly says be baptized and be saved. They would still be baptized. He's saying it shouldn't be, so be careful what you're reading. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by the prophecy by laying on the hands of the Presbyterians. 15 is where I was wanting to go. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that by profiting may appear to all. That word meditating, when we read the scriptures, we need to meditate on those. And that word is think deeply, carefully about what you're reading. Don't just skim through the pages and act like it's like a romance novel. You're reading through I want to get to the juicy part. Sometimes the juicy part is the first two scriptures that you skip over is where the meat of the whole chapter is. So you need to meditate and think deeply on these things. God will send His Holy Spirit to you, and He will reveal it to you. It's all there on the page. It shouldn't be no interpretations. A lot of people say, I interpret it this way. The Bible is plain. Let no man despise thy youth. How can you interpret that? You're supposed to be old? It says youth. The Bible says to be and I got in trouble with this before about women elders and deacons. Took a lady and told her, I said, the Bible says clearly, right here in chapter 3, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, if I'm translating myself, I can put, if anybody desires the office, but the Bible clearly says man. Now, she was upset with me because I said that, but I'm sorry. That's all I can say is man, because that's what the Bible says. They said Paul is male chauvinist. I don't know what Paul was. I never met Paul, but I know what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write the Bible. The only thing I can go by is what the Bible says. So when we're meditating on this stuff, we don't need to be getting, on the scriptures, we don't need to be getting our own interpretations of it. It's right there laid out in front of us. If you have problems understanding, that's what the brothers and sisters who are well-seasoned is for. You don't want to go to the world and get your Bible education. I would say it like that. You shouldn't go to the world asking the world about Bible stuff because you know you might get, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a wrong answer. Go to somebody who's in the faith, and they will help you. And in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both say thyself and them that hear thee. Paul lays it all out for Timothy. He said, if you do these things, if you have your good word, if your conduct is good, if your love is good, if you're in the spirit, and if you have good purity going about you, and you meditate in the word, the world will see you. People who talk to you would know that you're different from them. You're not out raising Cain, as you say. You're not out raising Cain. You're being a good Christian. And sometimes we take that like we're never going to make a mistake. When you make a mistake, like I said earlier, you fess up and you move on. Life is like that. We're all going to make mistakes. When we get to heaven, God going to say, yeah, I know you messed up, but you also came and asked me for forgiveness. I'm glad you came, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be here right now. So don't let a mistake stop you from going to heaven. You always want to ask God to forgive you. So in closing this afternoon, I hope you heard what I said. And what I'm saying, and it boils down to a nutshell, action speaks louder than words. Your lifestyle speaks louder than what you say. Your kids know, parents, your kids know all your dark secrets. You might think you're hiding stuff for little Johnny. Little Johnny knows everything. They've been in their house for 18 years. They know what you're doing. Children, your parents know what you're doing. They've been there before. You can't hide from them. My mother used to come up to me and say, David, I know you did that. I said, I didn't. And before I got it out of my mouth, I ain't going to tell you what she said, but or what she did. But she said, I know you did this, but I'm going to tell you this. If I don't know, God always know. And that, as a little kid, when she throw God on you, it's hard to sleep at night when she pulled the God card on you and said, God knows everything you did. I ain't going to whoop you, because God going to take care of you. Man, you up all night, your heart. And I'm waiting every bump of the night, you think God's coming to get you. But see, that's how we think as little kids. But as an adult, I know when I make a mistake, I hurry up and get it done. I hurry up and get it taken care of. I don't like Mike said in his class, don't wait. You know when you make a mistake. We know when we sin. Some of us plan sins and say, I'm gonna ask for forgiveness later. But don't be that type of Christian. If you accidentally sin, yes. But if you plan to sin, you're going to have to talk to God about that one, because you willfully sinning. Now, like I said in closing, you heard the word this afternoon, and I'm not going to, my plan wasn't to keep you long. If you're a visitor, and I hope if you, I don't see any visitors this afternoon, but if we have visitors, there's one way to become a Christian, but there's five steps. First, you have to hear the word, which you heard tonight. Then you have to believe what you heard. The gospel is all about Jesus, the love of Jesus, what he did for us. That's all it is. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, you're halfway there. Then you have to repent from your sins. That's number three. Turn away from them. Ask God to forgive you. And then you got to confess, number four, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. It brought death to those in the first century, but it brings life to us. Even though they died, it also brought life to them, because they got to live, they went to paradise. So, even though they died here on earth, they were in paradise right after they were killed. Then you have, number five, you have to be baptized. If you're a Christian, and if you sin, you can come down front and you can ask the church, fill out a card, ask the church to forgive you. But God needs to forgive you. The church will go to God in prayer for you. But hopefully you got that already taken care of. But if you feel like you need the church to pray for you, you can come down. Or if you have any prayer requests, please stand as we sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fire.